Well, welcome, guys. Thank you so much for coming here this evening and joining with other men as we're going to come and we're going to fellowship a lot tonight and tomorrow morning. There's going to be a lot of time for you guys to interact with each other. There's going to be a lot of information given out to you guys to share. The brief understanding of the schedule is we're going to have five different teachings. After the teachings, we're going to have a breakout sessions, okay? Now, I'll go more in detail of how that's going to work at the end of my message here. But we're going to break out, we're going to spread out, and we'll have questions for you to answer based on what we just talked about. And you're going to spend a lot of time fellowshipping with each other, lifting each other up through the word and sharpening each other that way. Just a quick change, if you have the schedule with you, if you don't have it during the break time, you can get it in the front desk where you guys checked in. But if you didn't get one on the way in, you can get that there. Tomorrow morning, the one change that we're making, it says breakfast at 7:30. We're going to move that up to 7:15 to give you guys a little bit more time to get in and get through the line to get your food tomorrow morning before we start the session, okay? There was a lot more guys that signed up, so we had to make some adjustments in order to accommodate you guys. So that is awesome. So, all right. This weekend, you guys are going to witness five miracles. You're going to have five Calvary pastors getting a message in within 30 minutes. So let me see if I can do that now. Okay. All right. Go ahead and open up to 2 Timothy 2. If you have a bookmark or a ribbon or something, go ahead and put it here. We're going to be coming back to this each session and then going wherever each pastor leads you throughout his session there. We're going to be going over one verse. So I might be able to get it in within a half hour. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. All right, everybody get your seatbelts out. Let's go ahead and click it in. You guys ready to go? Yep. All right. All right, guys, be held up by your chair. Seems kind of silly for me to say that, right? Like, what do you have to do about that? You know, why would I even tell you to be held up by your chair? There's not much you can do about it, right? You just kind of sit there and go, okay. You can't do anything to help it, right? Because as soon as you try to help, you're actually hindering it from holding you up. But today we need to hear what Paul is telling Timothy when he says, be strong. He tells Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And we need to keep saying it. We need to keep telling ourselves. We need to keep telling each other this. As men, we focus on strengths. Sometimes it's physical strength, intellectual strength, financial strength, emotional strength. Sometimes that looks like stoicism. But usually that's just shutting off your emotions. You name it, we'll make it a strength. We want to become stronger in this area or that area. We try to do it in our own power, our own understanding. Think about it. In the sports and the hobbies that you really enjoy or you're really wanting to get into, you have no time going to YouTube and spending hours looking at videos of how to perfect your golf swing or looking at how to improve your hunting or woodworking or whatever it is. I've spent so much time looking up worm farms and chicken coop stuff because I like eggs and so I like having chickens, but I want to make sure that they're producing the best they can. I'm a wonderful YouTube mechanic. I can't diagnose anything on your car, but as soon as I know what's wrong, I can fix it. Thank you, YouTube. However, in our walk with the Lord, we try to justify our weaknesses. You know, this is just who I am. That's how God made me. This is just, that's how my parents were. That's how I was raised. We have these justifying statements we use, you know, just because we don't have to work on those areas. The things that God's called us to do, we can't go to YouTube there because, you know, the videos that we would need to see on those things are longer than 5 minutes. What's the point in going to YouTube if you can't see it in 30 seconds, right? Well, as we get into this, let's go ahead and pray. And we'll get into what God is calling us to be strong in. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you've called us each here this evening. Lord, I know some men have come in here with big burdens on their shoulders, big worries, doubts, fears, not sure what's going to happen this next week or the next month. Lord, I know a lot of men have come in here with joy on their hearts, Lord, that you've been blessing them and guiding them and strengthening them. I know men who come in here desiring to grow. I know men coming in here desiring to feed into others. And I know, Lord, that you will meet each one of us here tonight. Thank you, God, for your love for each one of us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So when I was in college, I did the high academic study, took a class called Golf and Bowling. It was difficult. But during the golf, we were out there on the football field, and you know, we're all lining up, we're practicing our drives and everything. And I remember, you know, I golfed through high school, you know, not on the high school team, just with my dad and the old retired guys that, you know, would take them out and, you know, were gracious enough to let me go. You know, there was not a lot of instruction given at the time, so it was just kind of figure it out on your own. And so when I got to the class, I'm like, I do pretty good at this stuff. You know, and I had a pretty wicked slice, so I would change my stance. Instead of straight on, I would kind of put my left foot back a little bit so I can land in the middle of the fairway, you know, based on my slice. And I had it down pretty good. My teacher didn't think that was good, though, you know, and so he had to correct my grip and correct my swing in order to get it going. You know, and we tend to do that in our Christian walk. We try to justify things that we're not doing correctly instead of learning the correct way to do it to make it easier actually for us. Because as soon as I understood how to do it, my drives went farther and straighter and I got better scores. Same in the Christian walk. We're not here to justify, we're here to be justified. In Hebrews, the author says this, Hebrews 6, but beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those through faith, who through faith and patience inherit the promises. As men, we hear some of these things like show the same diligence, do not become sluggish, imitate those other men. And we start reaching down for our bootstraps, ready to pull up, right? We're like, I could do this, I got this. How many kids try to imitate Michael Jordan without all the practice that he put in? You know, we pat ourselves on the back, you know, for ministering to the saints. You know, that guy out on the median, man, what would he do without that $5 I just gave him? Be pretty rough life for him, you know. Good thing I was there for him there. But this is not what the author of Hebrews is saying, and this is not what Paul is telling Timothy either when he says to be strong. He says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. First, why is Paul telling Timothy this and now telling us to be strong? Well, we see that word therefore, right? And as good Bible scholars, we all do what? We find out what the therefore is. Therefore, right. So we have to go back a little bit, right? So we go back to the end of chapter 1 of 2 Timothy. Starting in verse 13, it says, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus. That's why I'm so thankful my name's Rob. It's so simple. For he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in the day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me in Ephesus. So we see, hold fast to what you've been heard. We see, keep what was committed to you. And to do this by the Holy Spirit. Hold fast means to keep it in mind. Keep it locked in there. You know, not this out of sight, out of mind, in the front of your brain, like right there. You know, write it where you see it all the time. Put it a card out, you know, on your dashboard so you see it. Whatever it is, it's going to keep it in your mind constantly. And then keeping what we commit to, it's to guard it as a person or a thing, to keep it from being snatched away, to preserve it. Almost like you guys guard your phones. You won't let anybody just take your phone out of your hand, right? How much more should we keep the Word of God from being snatched out of our hands? And we all know that the Holy Spirit dwells within us, those who have been saved. So this cannot be done in our own power. And then Paul gives two examples of men that fell away, along with the rest of Asia. And he gives one example of a guy that followed through with what he was saying here, to hold fast, to keep, to do it by the Holy Spirit. Guys, when you are ministering to other, when you're discipling other men, you're going to see this. You're going to feed into so many men, and a very small percentage is going to actually give you a return. You got to keep going. They have free will just like you. How many men have fed into you to get you to this point? How many times did you do exactly what they said versus going trying to do it your own way? You got to keep going. When Paul is telling us to be strong, it's a passive tense of the verb. He's not saying, you suck it up. He's not saying, you find the strength to do it. Be strong, it's a verb. It's being to receive strength or be strengthened or increase in strength in anything. The Holy Spirit is the one who strengthens you. It's not you sitting around waiting for him to do it. He's not going to move you off the sofa. He's not going to force that, you know, that game controller out of your hand or the remote control out of your hand or your phone out of your hand. You have to be willing to receive it. If I had a $100 bill here and I said, here, I want to give it to you, what are you going to do? You're going to take it, right? You're going to put your hand out and receive it. I'm not going to come stuff it in your pocket. That would just be weird. But what does he strengthen us in? The grace that's in Christ Jesus. Now, Jesus has unlimited grace. Amen? Right? He's an unlimited being. We are made in the image of God. And according to Romans 8, we're being conformed to the image of Jesus. So, if Jesus, an unlimited being, has unlimited grace, and we're made in his image and being conformed to his image, we can have grace. Think about it. God is ever everywhere, right? Omnipresent is the big word that we use for that, right? We're made in his image so we could be here. We're in our finite being. God is all kind so we can be kind. God is all patience or long-suffering. So we can be patient, believe it or not. The grace that God gives us comes from him, and we can receive it. Now, this is not about forgiving yourself. That's impossible. For two reasons. One, you don't have the power to do it. And two, you didn't sin against yourself. You sinned against God. Look at Psalm 51. When David says, I sinned against you and you alone, when he committed adultery and murder. So here are five things about God's grace. Number one, God's grace is not forced on us. In John 1, verse 16, it says, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. It's not forced on you. Like the $100 bill, I'm not going to force it on you. But if I'm willing to give it to you, you have to receive it. You have to be willing to receive it. Number two, God's grace encourages us. In Acts 11, it talks about Barnabas. It said, when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart, they should continue with the Lord. He saw that the grace of God was ministering to the Gentiles. And he was made glad. It is encouraging to us. We know that we can continue on. How many times have you guys done something and thought, oh, I just screwed up. Everything's over. It's over. It's done. A relationship, a job, or whatever. And then someone comes alongside you and says, nope, it's okay. We'll pick up the pieces. We'll move on. This is God's grace, and this is how you get encouraged through it. Number three, God's grace makes way for our salvation. Acts 15 says, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. This is Peter talking. We all can be saved through the grace that's in Christ Jesus. It's not in our own works. It's not in our own power. Number four, God's grace builds us up. In Acts 20, verse 24, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself so that I may finish my race with joy in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Jumping to verse 32, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Have you guys ever been going along and all of a sudden a memory pops in your head? Usually of a sin or something that you did, that you caused harm to someone, that you did something you shouldn't have done with a girl back then before you're married, whatever it is. Tends to tear you down. Those are great opportunities to actually give thanksgiving to God because of his grace. Because without his grace, you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be able to continue on. And this builds you up. You can now go forward. And then finally, number five, God's grace is free to us in abundance. In Romans 5, verse 15, but the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Verse 17, for if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Amen? There's a bigger purpose for grace than our own salvation, men. If we don't have grace, we might as well try to sow pebbles and hope that fruit trees pop up. That wouldn't work very well, would it? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Walking in God's grace is the foundation to being and making disciples. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting with verse 5, it says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Here, God gives. He gives grace, and grace in abundance. He gives materials we need to build. He gives us the ability to do what we need to do. We receive. And whether we work or not, we gain something. If we work, we get the reward. If we don't, we get loss. And then Jesus must be the foundation. Now with grace, we trust God with the outcome, freeing us up to do the work without worry of success or failure of whatever that outcome is. As long as we are building with material that will survive the fire. What does that mean? When you're ministering to others, when you're discipling someone, are you giving them things that are worthy, like, and not physical gold or silver? That'd be great, wouldn't it? But are you giving them truth? Are you giving them the word? Are you building things on the word to build them up? Or are you just giving them motivational talk? Or are you just kind of patting them on the back? Are you giving them like fluff to make them feel better about themselves? Because we're all going to be tested through this fire, and those things that we build on the foundation of Jesus Christ into other men is what's going to matter. How many of you, if you saw a guy running his head strong towards the edge of a cliff like the Grand Canyon, would have no problem running over and tackling him regardless of how many scratches you might get? Hopefully, any one of you would just try to take him out so he doesn't go off that cliff. How much more important is it that when we see a guy going headlong into, you know, sin, or, you know, away from the Lord, or just not in the right path, how much more should we not worry about getting hurt or harmed in order to save him, in order to point him to Christ, in order to bring him back, whatever it is that we need to do? There is nothing that can make us as strong as saying things like, I am a child of God in Jesus Christ. Or I have the love and favor of God even though I don't deserve it. That's the strength that comes with grace, and we each give a response to it. Couple examples in the Bible. In 2 Kings, we see Elijah and Elisha. And Elijah is going to be taken up by chariots. And he tells Elisha, wait here while I go farther. In the New Testament, we see Jesus. Before he's crucified, he takes three disciples with him and he goes, wait here and I'm going to go farther. Elisha wasn't content. And he said, no, Elijah, as long as the Lord lives and as long as you live, I'm going to stay with you. The disciples were like, okay, we'll stay here. And they fell asleep. Elisha was with Elijah when he was taken up. And as promised, he saw him go up and the mantle came down and he received the mantle. When Jesus came back and found the disciples sleeping, they were rebuked. Now God used both Elijah and the disciples to further his kingdom. That is God's grace. As disciples, we must lead the way. As disciples, we have a choice. What will your answer be? Paul knew what it was like to receive the strength of God's grace, as he explained in 2 Corinthians 12. He says, And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He could encourage Timothy like this from his own life experience of God's grace. We can look back at our life and see where we fell asleep and didn't obey. We didn't follow through with what we were called to do at that moment. We could look back at the times that we're like, no, I'm standing firm. I'm doing this. I'm going to follow through with it. Either way, God is willing to use you to further his kingdom. So think about it. Where has God forgiven you? Men, be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. My closing prayer, I'm just going to read from Colossians 1, verses 9 through 14. This is why I've been praying for you guys all week. And I had a group of men, my leaders, praying for it as well. Let's pray. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Lord, we thank you for your grace. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. This is what is going to happen. You guys are going to break up into groups of 5 to 7 guys. You guys get to decide your group. I'm going to challenge you to try to find some people you haven't met yet. Okay? Find a guy you don't know. Try to connect. Okay? And then I'm going to have you spread out. So here's the thing is, we could have probably 3 groups on the left side here, my left, your right, 3 groups over here, a couple groups in the back maybe, but then we have the whole foyer, we have the adult discipleship room upstairs, the cafe, the junior high, the high school. We have plenty of space to spread out, okay? And you're going to be handed, as you go out, you're going to be handed a set of questions to talk through, okay? Not everybody's going to get this piece of paper. All right, just about 2 people per group is enough for you guys to share. We'll be putting them up on the screens for those that are in here as well. And then you guys are going to go off. You're going to discuss the questions, going to talk, pray with each other until about 7:15. And then around 7:15 to 7:30, that's the time to take a break, get some more snacks, go to the restroom, you know, the coffee in, coffee out kind of thing, okay? Any questions? No. Good. No questions. All right. All right, go ahead. 5 groups of 5 to 7. We'll have guys at the back to hand out the questions as you go. They'll also be on the screen here.